I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 11. And the reason I've chosen this reading is because of things that are happening in the Middle East, that it's good to be reminded that the Bible tells us that there is good news and that one day peace will reign. So Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. In that day, the Lord will reach out his hand a second time to reclaim a surviving remnant of his people from Assyria to the lower Egypt, from Upper Egypt to from Cush, from Elam, from Babylonia, from Hamath, from the islands of the Mediterranean. He will raise a banner for the nations and gather the exiles of Israel. He will assemble the scattered peoples of Judah. From the four corners of the earth, Ephraim's jealousy will vanish, and Judah's enemies will be destroyed. Ephraim will not be jealous of Judah, nor Judah hostile towards Ephraim. They will swoop down on the slopes of Philistia to the west. Together they will plunder the people of the east. They will subdue Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be subject to them. The Lord will dry up the gulf of the Egyptian sea with a scorching wind. He will sweep his hand over the Euphrates River. He will break it up into seven streams so that anyone can cross over in sandals. There will be a highway for the remnant of his people that are left from Assyria, as there was for Israel when they came up out of Egypt. Just pictures flashing, really, in those words, telling us that God is going to bring peace to the earth as the animals, various animals that would normally be devouring one another, will lie down in peace. It's a picture of the peace that will one day rule the world, and that one day we will see these things happen.
And the reading is John chapter 14. So I hope you're sitting comfortable. Jesus comforts his disciples. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The Word cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore. But you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away and I am coming back to you. If you love me, you will be glad that I am going to the Father. For the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave.
Lord, may we see you as we listen to thoughts of what you're about and what you do. Hear us in this, we pray. Amen. I just remember when I was younger, there used to be a program called Crown Court. Do you remember it? And they used to have the Bible and they'd say, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now, I'm not sure whether they still do that, but the Bible is the truth. And this section of the John's Gospel opens and closes with our Lord's loving admonition, let not your hearts be troubled. We're not surprised that the apostles were troubled. Jesus has more and more frequently talked about dying and leaving them, and about the good news that there is in this passage, that the cure for trouble, the cure for being unrested and facing difficulty is truth. Truth. And this passage is partly about the truth. Both it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And it says that Jesus is sending another counselor who is the Spirit of Truth. In these things, Jesus is saying that the truth will set you free. The truth will be your comfort. We live in a world today full of fake news, lies, and falsehood. As you probably know, the BBC has set up its own department called BBC Verify, which is to cut through all the rubbish and nonsense and show that what the truth is in the news. I want to say this morning that if you want the truth, we go to Jesus. If you want the truth, we go to him. He says he is the truth. Let your hearts not be troubled, neither let them be afraid if you know the truth. People think today that to get to the Father, to get to God, there are lots of different paths, like the London Underground. Those of you who have ever been on it will know how confusing it is when you first go on. But if you want to get somewhere, say right in the centre there, I think I can. Isn't that clever? Tottenham Court Road, just there. Say if you wanted to get to the centre of the London Underground at Tottenham Court Road, you could start from anywhere, use any route to get there, and you'll get to Tottenham Court Road. People think the same thing about God and the Father this morning. Out there, they think that if they just believe and are sincere, then they'll get to heaven. Jesus says he is the truth, that there is only one way to him. John 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. What an amazing, amazing statement that is. And the Bible also says that Jesus is the means of truth coming to us. John 1, verse 17 says, For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So for truth, we go to Jesus. There are times when we need to remind ourselves of the truth again and again, because emotions are so unreliable and fleeting. If we rely on emotions, we'll be led astray. If we go on how we feel, we're going to be messed up. But if we go on the truth, it is reliable and unfleeting. And here are some of the truths we learn from Jesus. The first truth is the truth of assurance. Now, assurance is different from insurance. Obviously, different words. But insurance pays for assurance. Insurance pays for the idea that you can go away and rest assured that your house is going to be looked after if you have burglars or fire or whatever horrible thing happens. Assurance is what Jesus gives us about the future. Mark 16, verse 16 says, Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. The scriptures are full of such promises to reassure us of our salvation, to give us assurance that we are saved. Why? Because sometimes we doubt. Sometimes we doubt. Our humanity means that unless we see it, touch it, taste it, we're not always convinced, are we? If somebody says to you on the Great British Bake Off, this cake tastes beautiful, unless you can taste it yourself, you don't know, do you? But the fact is, is that Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and we can trust in him. Doubt itself is not sin. If you doubt, that's okay. But what is not okay is constant doubt being blown about by every wind of doubt that comes our way. That's why the writer of the Hebrews says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. We do doubt. It's in our humanity. But doubt is not the truth. Truth is the antidote to doubt. We have been saved. We are saved. We will be saved. This is truth. Then there's the truth of forgiveness and cleansing. If we walk in the light, 1 John 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus' Son purifies us from all sin. Again, there are times when we don't feel forgiven. However, Scripture says that the truth is that we are forgiven by the blood of Jesus shed upon the cross. It says if we sincerely confess our sin and look to God for forgiveness, we are forgiven. 1 Peter 2 verse 24 says, he himself bore our sins in his body on a tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. This is truth, that we have been forgiven because of what Jesus has done. Not of ourselves, but of God. A useful phrase to take from here is from Isaiah 61 verse 10. It says, I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. Why? Because he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest and a bride adorns herself with jewels. God has given us a robe of righteousness, not of our own making, not of our own doing, but all of him. And that makes us right with him. That's truth. The untruth is when we think to ourselves, I am such a sinner, I'm so useless, I'm so failing, so rubbish. But God says, I have given you great forgiveness and great righteousness. That's truth. Then there's the truth of the golden rule. Jesus has given us a code to live by. It's in Matthew 7, verse 12. It says, so in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. If we cannot earn these things, why do we bother living good lives? If God has given us a robe of righteousness, why bother living good? Well, God is commanded to live in this truth, that we do unto others as they would have them do to us. Sums up our life code. Imagine the whole world living like this. There'd be no war. There'd be no strife. There'd be no bloodshed. Well, according to the Bibles I read in Isaiah earlier, the day will come when the lion and the lamb will live together. Peace, because we will all live by the golden rule. That's truth. And there's the truth of happiness, which might sound odd. Psalm 10 verse 6 says, he says to himself, nothing will shake me. I'll always be happy and never have trouble. Only once is this attitude ever announced. And it's the wicked who are speaking, not the righteous. It's the wicked who are speaking because they have no regard for God and say, I'm always going to be happy because I don't care for what God says. But the truth of the Bible is more stark. This is truth. Job 5 verse 7, yet man is born to trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. And this life is often a life of trouble. In the New Testament, we read this in 1 Peter 4, verse 12. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you. James 5, verse 13. Is anyone of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Happiness is not guaranteed for the Christian. Not this side of heaven. That's why Jesus tells the disciples not to be troubled. They will be happy for a while, but when they suffer because of the death of Jesus. The fact is that Christian life is hard and difficult. If we're going to trust in God, it means that we have to do things that the world says are rubbish and wrong and pointless. Like love one another, care for one another, share with one another. Then there's the truth of Christ's presence, which is an antidote to this difficulty that we can often encounter. Matthew 28, verse 20, he says, "And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Even when days are hard and life is painful, one promise must remain with us. Jesus is there with us. It's a promise that goes again against feeling and emotion. It's that great poem, Flight of Footprints, that reminds us of Jesus' presence. That there is often, he is often walking there with us, sometimes carrying us. Psalm 139 says, "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." Jesus is always with us. That is truth. Then, lastly, there is the truth of life beyond death. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. John 14, verse 1, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you there to be with me, that you may also be where I am." When we come face to face with the last journey, either for ourselves or for our loved ones, we need that greatest promise from Jesus, eternal life. Sometimes we speculate, we dream, we question, what will it be like? What will eternal life be like? Well, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 has a truth, and it says this, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be brilliant. It's exciting and it is wonderful, and it is a promise that is based in truth of the way, the truth and the life, that Jesus says when we die, we go to be with him and it will be amazing. This is a truth to live by and a truth to die by. This is truth. In times of doubt, trouble, hurt, struggle, the truth sets us free because the truth is found in Christ. Let's pray together. Take a moment just to be still and to reflect. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." We thank you, Father, that you have given us truth in Jesus. And while the world strives and struggles and fights and complains and is bitter and twisted and hurt, we know the truth that Jesus says that the truth will set us free. Teach us to walk in the ways of truth, we pray. Teach us to walk in the truth that Christ has set us free. Help us not to rely so much on emotion and feelings, but trust in the promises of Scripture that you have indeed set us free. Let's say together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.